Hello everybody. I'm just wondering actually, because it's a nice small crowd, if anybody, can you hear me at the back without the mic? Or would you prefer the mic?
No.
Try to wait.
She hates how they work in here right at the back. At the back.
Try the mic.
No bother. We'll keep with the mic though. Yeah, no bother.
Try with no mic again.
Before I start, I just want to give Paul and Everett and Vale a sincere thank you from the bottom of my heart for inviting me here into the heart of York City, because it's really special to me, and in case I forget as well. So thanks a million, Paul. The introduction there. I am originally from Mayo and lived in Cork, West Cork, 17 years, and now my twin sister came down and stole the whole city from me. I was exiled up the country. No, that's not true at all. I'm living up there in County Meath, and I did. I started writing up there, and then, as I say, I kind of discovered spoken word. It seems obvious to other people, maybe now, other great folks that are here that kind of grow up with it. I'm a little bit older, and I went to the Electric Picnic. I was working at the Electric Picnic at a bus, giving out food to people, and there was the word tent, and I blagged my way onto the word tent. He was reluctant enough, but I kept at it, and that was my first performance. And just after I got up, a few poets later, there was the English Slam Champion, and I had never heard anything like that in my life, and I just thought it sounded really musical and wasn't quite rap, and it really captured my imagination. But just also getting up, and the act of getting up and performing in front of people, I just thought, that's it, that's what I want. But it wasn't actually, that wasn't totally the truth either, because I kind of grew up in the early 90s in Cork, and if anybody did at that time, they would have seen Dermot the Dolly. All around Cork, doing his thing, and to be witness to that, it was quite, he didn't belong to any genre or any kind of scene at all, and just the neck of getting up in front of people, and just the beautiful poetry as well, that stuck with me, and that has influenced me as well. So I'm up there in County Meath, and I'm writing poetry, but recently, well actually my first poem is a few years old now. Recently, I have discovered, I'm going to take this out. Recently, I have discovered what it is that I want to be. And that is a spiral wine cellar installer. I saw this stellar title written along the side of a works vehicle as I drove through the town of RD, and these words, they shot right at me. They grabbed me and they spoke to me. They said, "Hi, you! This is what you're going to be." And I said, "Me? Really? This is what I'm going to be?" And they said, "Well, at least consider it." And I thought, that does sound pretty decent and concrete and certainly skillful, yet bizarrely at the same time almost magical and mystical. And even if I'm not so sure what that is exactly or at all, perhaps when I am a trained and qualified and certified spiral wine cellar installer, and somebody approaches me randomly or otherwise asking me what is it that I do, instead of muttering into my shoe something like this: "Well, I've got these kids, see, and I write poetry." Well, actually, no, I don't actually get around to writing poetry so much, but I perform. I perform this poetry that I don't get around to writing much. Well, look, honestly, between you and me, I don't really get around to performing much. This poetry, I don't get around to writing much, but I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this. Any day now, any day, I'll be writing shit-hot stuff that I have never written and performing it like an intergalactic champion. Art! Did I mention that? I am an artist, kind of, ish, I guess, or was at least, like, I made a piece of art once that my sister bought. So that was back before I desperately needed my precious time to write and rhyme, perform, or even recite the slightest bit of poetry. Back before I had these kids, see, of which I'm sure there are three. No, two. Two, well, any, whatever. That's it. That's what I do. Yes. Instead of that, when I am a trained and qualified and certified Spiral wine cellar installer, and somebody approaches me randomly or otherwise asking me what is it that I do, imagining I am standing ever so slightly taller than my 5 foot, shall look said inquirer straight in the eye with my slick, specialized head held high, and I shall announce with certain pride that I am a viral vine, that thing. Yeah, so I'm up there in County Meath, and yeah, I blagged my way onto the stage, but it was a year later before I did another poem anywhere. Elaine Gard, a friend of ours down here, got wind that I was poeting or attempting to do something, and she invited me down and for a Women's Day celebration. I did a couple of poems, and that was my first gig, and that was really nice. And I was thinking about it the other day, and there's just some poems back then that I just don't see the light of day now, and I think this little one deserved to just come out tonight for the crack. It's called Dot to Dot. 7, 8, 9, 10. With a tiny pen, she draws a dog out of the page at her trusting age, and when she comes to a stop, the picture, it's complete. She moves along, satisfied, to the next sheet. Later, when the dots are as large as stars, like rocks of friends or landmarks dotted in a cultural scape, the story never ends as she sculpts and mends and bends her head around each line she draws from dot to dot. But lately, somehow, she has landed herself on a dot like a black spot. A full stop at the end of nothing, and nothing is complete or can be done. She is desperately trying to draw the next line, but the page is worn with the marks of the searching, and the dots are moving further away at every push of her pen. 7, 8, 9, 10. With a tiny pen, she draws a bird of paradise in a cage out of the page, and when she comes to stop, the picture, it's complete.
Wow.
Day equals night, and night equals day. It's the equinox. It's the autumn equinox, and up where I'm from in County Meath, there's great excitement, of course. Well, the New Grange, as you all know, that's that one is aligned with the solstice, and there's a beautiful place not too far from where I am, and it's aligned with the equinox of the autumn and the spring. And quite a while ago now, I wrote a poem about going there for the equinox and seeing, anybody can go there. Just walk up the hill, and on any equinox, they let you into the chamber, the sun comes out, comes down the chamber, the light, and illuminates these beautiful art pieces on the curbstones, and it's an incredible experience. And you've got 6 months to pack your bags before the spring equinox comes around, so it's an incredible thing to do. Strong marks lit by a strong March light. Maps of ritual gatherings or something lower down in the gut. We watch as we gather in this equinox. A rut carved in stone by stone. Drinking down the dawn as it sinks and pours its sun in deep to that cut, and we follow with our mind like a broken needle. We stand in natural light, orchestrated by those ancient architects. Our fluffy fleeces and our modern clothes, they cling to our skin against a freezing wind that we have waited such little time in outside on this hill of the witch. Did those that made these marks, this chamber, this burial mound with its equinox orientation, do they know or do they care that we are here? Did they need to dress by wrapping themselves so deep, layer after layer in deer hide, or had the weather made them hard? Did they believe that they belonged to it, and it perhaps to a world beyond? Did they pride themselves in life, or do they now in death? Are they here, near, close by? And do they jeer us, trespassing in their small enclave, as we leave spaces between us, brought here with us, bigger than the sky? Or rot, carved in stone by stone, in the command of whose hand? Drink down this dawn as it sinks and pours its sun in deep to your cut, and we fumble in this equinox, and another year it heaves on its axis, pushing on without any of us, marches on regardless. Strong marks lit by a strong march light, maps of ritual gatherings, or something lower down in the gut.
So,
as I mentioned before, I'm up there in County Meath, and of course, it wasn't the rocks that brought me up there, it was Nan. And I mentioned this Meath man in West Cork, where I lived as well. And, well, this is a little story about that. I told him in Mayo that I'd hooked up with a new man in the hills of West Cork. In a converted horse truck with a long, untamed mane of dreads, mad blue eyes, and there was no surprise. Me and my man, we'd our Irish nights on Mondays, cabbage, potatoes, Christy and the Pogues, all their nostalgia, meeting ours for something we had never shared but had. Perhaps we were growing up or old, looking back, but shouted, "Bungalow kids on tour!" as we passed and partied every night into the Atlantic breeze. I told him in Mayo that this man, he came from me. And then there were a few disapproving O's. McHale shouldn't have been sent off that pitch. My father shot sideways at you through clenched teeth. Referring to 96 and that great old Ireland war, and I found I kind of had to strangely agree, and you looked as if you couldn't care. But I know better now, and think now of all the other things that have been forgiven, and wonder now at everything that has been forgotten. I'm just listening to the tis, and wonder now of everything that has been forgotten as I stand here now in County Meath with a bungalow kid on my hip and one at my knees after all that has gone and passed down this that has led a million miles from, but always back to you.
Wow.
This quirky microphone, I think we're getting on okay. I'm there, so I'm on the kind of northeast coast, and the beach is a little bit further away than it is in Cork, but we still get there. And this next one is about a beach that we don't regularly go to. It's called Baltrae. I don't know if anybody knows it. It's just north of Drogheda, and this was a beautiful November day, so I wrote a poem. Just north of where the River Boyne is ripped asunder in every way by becoming sea, and on this day so quietly, I am not thinking that what we see and think is merely version, some notion we may hold of things, or even wonder who's to blame for anything. Blue November sky, a shipwreck stands at ease in the distance, and closer by, some large long-haired guy plays a lazy game of fetch with his Alsatian across the strand. And as we land, it seems this ancient game is done as he turns around, looks down to his right and then to his left, casually searching, I guess, for a rough patch of grass on which to sit there on the border between sand dune and beach. And as he does this, small shells crack, crunch and break beneath his feet, and the sound is amplified in the silence. Below, two riders race their horses at the water's edge, then slow to a trot before they are gone out of sight. Seagulls, not much else, except my family beside me, here in this place. of sand, sea, sky, space. Something about an hour from the capital of the rest of the country, the other capital, Dublin, and I occasionally go up and down to listen to poetry or recite poetry or these kind of things, and I wrote this poem after one such occasion. With your stark street lights and this full moon pressing, such an almighty ton weight of white right down on this small thing that I have just said, I can barely catch a breath and struggle making sense. So Dublin, can we say you are anything that cares even just a bit, so I could plead, excuse me, let me split. Forgive me, let me disappear, let me steal your motorway away from here, that asphalt slab stretched under its snakes of red lights, which retreats back, slinks from the city out into black. I vote for the cold comfort in riding the big road and neatly morph into the vertebrae of what I've made out to be this modern day mythical serpent, yet I could slip from here down to the sea easily, and there let the moon have it with me, scold me, then bandage me up in brightness, somehow sit still by me. But it's not time for this particular fantasy, because I squeeze time far too close to my chest in case the stitches of the seconds come away and my choices become undone. This full moon it's pressing, this full moon it's pressing, and I press on. And when I do take off the motorway, it's down the winding roads, we're along the verge, the cat's eyes each wink and turn, and every passing car dips their beams from heads to dim until I am further out or further in, further out or further in, and see that beyond these familiar carlit hedges, the night and these anonymous hills which surround the place where I dream are here too, heavily pressed in light. Is there no getting away, no getting away from the things we say? Really heavy. Maybe I'll just do light one. I was thinking earlier on there was a blackout. I couldn't put the orange or anything in the poem. But I'm gonna throw this in because my God. Just to lighten things up a bit. I'm gonna do one word challenge. I can join in just by putting the blackout bit in. Last night I dreamt I slept with Johnny Cash, but it's a blank because I dreamt I drank a blackout load of beer. So now I pray that in my dreams of the dead alive or living dying, I am not so drunk next time he comes, and he's not dead to be alive, but alive instead, and I'm not dreaming. Oh, come back, Mr. Cash, for I never loved you enough. I've won the one word challenge, so I'm going to take you over the country. I'm just looking at the map of Ireland there, it's all laid out beautifully, to this part up here in this corner, Mayo. It's a while ago, there was an incident in Mayo. My mother's from there, she's from Killala, but I've been familiar with driving them back, over and back, over the very north coast there beside the cliffs. And I was very familiar at the time. It was Shell to Sea in Corrib, and the incident had happened at that time, and I just felt really compelled to write this, and it just kind of wrote itself. This is called Looking for the Rain. I'll do another funny one in a while. She came down from the sky in a cloud, long before the Tuatha-De-Danann, but not before the rain. She made great leaps across the virgin world before others came out of the sea at Caja. Up the cliffs they crept, praying for life, and they slept easy when their fields were full and they didn't die that winter. Gulls filled the sky beside the land, watching her as she held their hand, making out that she was theirs. Loving and sometimes laughing, She tended to their children in the fire, but there inside the settlement above the cliffs, she was really just holding it together as the moons passed through their phases and years built alongside stone walls up to that day. Its air stuffed with fog like snow, she wrapped herself in a robe and off she went out of their fields. They could have sworn that she'd only gone for a walk to the north, for a talk with God or herself, for a song in the misty white, and all around her a smell of water in the light as she continued on out, carried by those gulls looking for the rain. We're going to stay in County Mayo, Mayo of the 1970s. And the dreams and aspirations. Hi guys, you're all behind me, oh my god.
You're in the room.
I'm going to do it this way for a while. No, you're getting, you're used to it. I hate forgetting people. This is the dreams and aspirations of a young culture growing up in County Mayo. This is called When I Was a Kid. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a ballerina, an acrobat, an inventor, a clown. I wanted to save families from burning buildings, dig up ancient treasure that I'd find with some metal detector, perhaps the next Tara Brooch, and I wanted to become Pope. Or at least in the meantime, between that and growing up, be picked by the pontiff up into his Pope mobile, his tour truck, and kissed on the forehead. And this picture be beamed out around the world into the home of each boy, each girl. It was 1979 and I was 8. I was one of 6 and I was an identical twin sister. I had high knee socks and a little anorak and a fold-up wooden stool with a blue plastic seat. My twin, if I remember right, she had the red one. And side by side we sat, in amongst our family, in a crowd of over 400,000 people that came from as far away as the moon, to see one man in County Mayo give his blessing, say his bit, put the cherry on the top, that greatly anticipated tour in his Pope mobile, his tour truck, out through the outrageously brainwashed flock spread out across those hills at Knock. That was cancelled. Security informing everybody that the light would be too low as the sun was soon to go down, and down, down, down it came on that wee dream. That wee dream of being picked up by him. That wee dream of being picked up and kissed by him. That wee dream of being picked up and kissed by him, and this recorded for the television, where in reality he probably would have bypassed me. My age of 8 not cutting it. 6 or under would have been better, because 6 or under would have been cuter. And that is what these pictures were. Cute fodder. The cover of the cover-up of the systematic, global and historic sexual, physical and psychological abuse of little children. The incarceration and the forced slavery of countless women. And the stripping away from them of everything, from their names to their children, by the anointed members of that religion who call themselves fathers, brothers, sisters and mothers. And never one bit of this ever recorded for the television, and if it wasn't on the record, then it was not happening. In 1979, when I was 8, I could have never imagined how he, the Pope in Rome Almighty, how he hated me. Because I was just little, I was young, and along with that, one day I would become a woman. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a ballerina, an acrobat, an inventor, a clown. I wanted to save families from burning buildings, dig up ancient treasure that I'd find with some metal detector, perhaps the next Tara Brooch, and I wanted to become Pope. We're nearly there. I might do one little one and then just finish up. Yeah, I'll just launch into this little one and then I'll just say something and let you go in a minute then. This is just about life, I suppose. Just a wee poem about water. That That's mine. Just a bit of water. Sometimes, like water, we freeze. And we can freeze so goddamn hard. Depending on, in worst case scenarios, the temperature dropping around us. But also more commonly, the sudden retraction of factors like love and affection or other things that can be expected or random things, which even in retrospect may never be detected. Yet still, I'm thinking, we are a lot like water. Hey, just watch as we rush and as we run. Look, look at us falling and see how we stop, stagnate, heat and evaporate, and how we form clouds, creating each and every breeze, make the thunder in the sky become the driving rain, and how we drench and how we can drown everything before we slip, silent. Deep within the dark soil, so utterly unseen, and blind beneath the ground, how we must sink further down as we battle into rock, looking for a breath, seeking our way to light out through the wells on this earth, up and out through the wells on this earth. For we, like water, tentatively turn to stream, ever so slowly to begin on our path across the back of this world and onto our ocean home. Before my last poem, I want to thank everybody again, but I also want to do something I keep forgetting to do at all gigs. Wait a minute, sorry, I'm so thirsty. If you like my stuff, promoting myself here. If you'd go on to just Facebook, if you're on it at all, go in there and just like Nuala Leonard poetry. I'd really appreciate it. That would be really great. But it's also, there's a reason for that as well, because I haven't set up a thing called a funded page. It's not just for my poetry, it's to get to the competition that we were talking about earlier on. It's in Hungary, and accommodation, luckily, it's all covered, and I think food is covered. The flights aren't covered, and past participants from Ireland have done funded pages just to make up that money for the flights and transport costs. So I'll be mentioning that on my Facebook page soon enough, and it'd be really great if you could just like it anyway for the crack, and or not, whichever. Oh my God. Yeah, we're in business, we're okay. We'll get there. So thanks to you guys, everybody in Miami, for listening to me carry on here in Cork City. And this is my final poem. And as I was saying earlier on, live down in West Cork. Don't know if anybody knows Valley's Hub. Valley's Hub. I worked on the main street there in some of the pubs and drank some pubs and I worked in the craft shop, and in this is about, I'll bring you back anyway, to 2002. And I'm working in Andy's craft shop, the Celtic Knot, on the main street in Ballydehob. It's a neat little number, if there ever was one, with a couple of tourists in the summer and Christmas sales seeing us through the winter. For kicks, I'm listening to the shop's trad and folk CDs, and on the QT flick through a small pile of gloss and gossip magazines, which sit and I take from beneath a beautiful antique glass countertop, with a shining display of Sheila na Gig pewter pendants, replicas of the ancient Irish stone carvings of ghoulish looking women displaying their vaginas, goddesses perhaps, or some door to a darker world, or a thing to shield against Lord only knows what, perhaps the Lord himself. I had one of these years back, and I'd worn it proudly and defiantly, and in the end, I guess, obliviously, as a young pup of a hippie, till it fell down from around my neck through wear, and now I stand here behind an army of them, a sea of them, at least three of them. As we greet our customers one by one, that's when and if they come. That's never happened before. And that's when and if they come, and the times they don't, it's back to listening to these CDs and flicking through those magazines. Research, if you will, into the ills of a shallow parallel society. their nails, and oh my goodness me, their hair. And what could they possibly have for dinner that would only make them thinner? And this starry-eyed, bizarre obsession with celebrity, that could never happen to me. And so these neat little days they pass, retailing the local handmade crafts, Christmas, summer, Christy Moore, and woman's way, right up until this particular day when who should land in the door but Drew fucking Barrymore. I kid you not. And not the Drew Barrymore of Danny Darko, Batman Forever, Charlie's Angel, Screamer, Firestarter, but Drew Barrymore, the girl that knew E.T. E.T., the alien that starred in a movie about himself, and how he'd gotten his adorable self stuck here on Earth with us, but rescued just in the nick of time before I truly nearly cried myself to death at an early age of 9. That Drew Barrymore, who knew E.T., because she'd also starred in the movie. She is now standing here in front of me, and I am not stoked, folks. I am starstruck. She browses for a while. Oh my god, she has such a lovely smile. Who would have thought that being starstruck could fuck with your sexual identity as well as messing with your freaking personality? Drew Barrymore, the girl that knew E.T., she is now buying a little wooden boat and a leather belt with me. I wonder would she sleep with me, but only think this luckily, before she pays politely and is gone. Drew Barrymore, I am struck down, but I get up and leave the shop and every shred of decency behind. I've lost my mind, but find her up the road just about to go. Is there anything around here I could get a phone? That's her voice, not mine. This is going absolutely fine. Yes, intercourse, I mean, of course, in the shop. Come with me, come. But she turns to him, her boyfriend, already behind the wheel, and he is saying something that I can't quite hear. And then she turns to me and says, my boyfriend, he wants to go now. Perhaps she just wanted to phone her old pal E.T. and tell him all about me and how she'd fallen in love instantly across the countertop in a craft shop with all these tiny little Irish goddesses looking up at us. But it wasn't to be, it just wasn't to be, and they hit west. And I retreat back down the same street in Ballydehob and into Anna's craft shop where summer comes and winter follows. Sweet music fills the air, and a small pile of Gloss and Gossip magazines sit beneath the counter. I see my Sheila's on the way back in and think, isn't it funny how E.T. looks like them?